everybody, to another book club episode of Adeptus Ridiculous. I'm Bricky. My co-host is DK, and we chat about the lovely novels that come out from the Warhammer Black Library. Before we start, if you want to check out the awesome podcast, go to patreon.com/AdeptusRidiculous. Get Discord, bloopers, posters, etc. Great stuff, and support us because that's awesome too. And check out the merch at orchid8.com, link in the description.
I go to Patreon specifically for the etc.
The big DACA. All right, so this novel is written by Mike Brooks, narrated on the audiobook style of side of things by, I believe, Harry Myers was the name, and also is the third. In a sense, basically the third book in the Brutal Cunning series, Uftak Blackhawk series,
kind of continuation of War Boss.
Well, War Boss doesn't really have Uftak in it, but it has Snaggy, which is important. So we'll say it's the third in the series more than anything. Yeah. Before we get too started, Shai has a review for the book. Love to hear it.
Oh. You want me to read it, or are you good?
That's a great question.
I can do it.
You want to do it?
Yeah, I got this. I got this. You do a lot of talking usually. I'll hit this one.
All right.
Overall, I enjoyed The Big Docker. What does the title even refer to? Just orc guns in general, or the big gun they capture at the end of the book? Spoiler! God. It starts off strong, sags in the middle, and the last 3.5 hours are an absolute joy. On the orc side, see how boy moving to become war boss, how that starts affecting him from getting bigger and faster, but also smarter, which allows him to understand various previously wild concepts like not rushing enemy with suicidal frontal assault, and how that actually disturbs the orc because it goes against his nature, and how he tries to adapt to his new smarts to warfare instead of paranoia and doubting himself. Orc portal shenanigans are great, and how they terrify the Dark Eldar, recklessly using warp for the memes. Orc back and forth with Dark Eldar at the end is an absolute banger, where we see both sides' morals and philosophies clash. Overall, orc side is pretty much nailed. Dark Eldar offers really good depiction of them, how their society functions, or doesn't, through the rise of would-be archons, rivalries and temporary alliances with various cults, covens, archon, homunculi, etc. Love that etc. Great look at the Dark City and how weird it is even to the orcs, and how much it sucks, and how much it sucks living there, and some hints on how much Yukari hate their own existence, endless fear of death, and infinite torture by Slaanesh, which will follow, always fearing betrayal at every step and being forced to torture others whether they like it or not, to even survive. Weird but kind of cute love story between two backstabbing, lying, cheating, murder, tortures as well, and that was unexpected. Great voice acting by Harry Myers. What I hated, fucking grots.
Wait, I want to do the what I hated part because this.
Oh yeah, go for it.
I just feel like, you know, I got to get some venom out myself.
Hell yeah,
you know?
Yeah, 12 inches of venom.
What I hated, fucking grots. I can't stand Snaggy and knew from the goddamn start that just like in War Boss, the story was leading fucking nowhere. I know it's a running gag that his wannabe Red Gobbo Grot is trying to become War Boss and constantly fails, but I don't find him or his adventures funny or interesting. Honestly, you can just cut him the fuck out of the story and you wouldn't miss anything.
Yeah.
Lies. To me, book been sold like sort of gladiator or captured and being forced to fight in the arena by Dark Eldar has to figure out how to get out. Here's from the book's description. Out of options, Uftak leads his Wath, the mysterious webway, to a place where cunning, sneaking, and thinking are the name of the game. Here, where cabals and homunculus covens pump psychic viscera into the warp, Uftak is thrown into gladiatorial combat and soon finds himself up against an archon who will summon nothing to prove she deserves to rule the Dark City, even if it means bringing Kamarog down around her. Wow, you are actually totally correct.
Whoa, that's the book's description?
That's a terrible description of the book.
That's literally like the last 2 hours of the book.
That's also not even true. Uftak wasn't out of options. He followed them into the webway because he felt like it.
Yeah.
Because he thought it'd be funny. And he wanted to.
Wow, that's a horrible description of the book.
Yikes, that's actually terrible.
That's
genuinely misleading.
Oh, yeah. 1,000,000%. I mean, it does eventually happen, but wow.
You know?
Wow.
You know, okay, interesting. So Shai says, close to a 7 out of 10, but ending 3 hours put it up to an 8 out of 10.
Oh,
all right, so
wow.
8 out of 10. Shai, of the three books in the Orc trilogy, where does this one place in between Brutal Cunning, War Boss, and you know, the Big Daka?
Yeah. Which one was your favorite, and where does this one sit? That's a good question, because Shai is the resident Orc fiend. We all like orcs, but Shai is like, you know.
She's orc-coded. Orc-pilled, one might even say.
She's orcified. Orcified me, Cap'n.
She's fungus-pilled.
She's fungus-pilled. You make it sound like she doesn't bathe. Like, something about, you're fungus-pilled. It's like, what?
It's the fungus beer.
I know.
Say Brutal Cunning the most, then Big Daka, then War Boss. All of them had their issues, though.
I was going to say the same. Well, not exactly the same. I definitely like Brutal Cunning the most. And then I would probably go War Boss. And honestly, I think I might have liked Big Daka the least.
Really?
Out of all three of them. Yeah.
This is a fascinating spread. I like the Big Daka the most. And then I probably put maybe Brutal Cunning second, and then War Boss third. I think they're about equal.
Okay.
This is fascinating.
Okay. We literally hit every part of the spectrum. I mean, I would still give it like I think I'd still put it at like a 7 out of 10. Like, it was still enjoyable to read, but I don't know.
Interesting. Okay, So for the plot synopsis, for the most part, Snaggy Little Tooth, after War Boss, has been thrown into Ooftok's gang with the Mech Lord, and they are dealing with some spiky gits, as they call them, and chase them into the Webway because they need to get more loot for the Mech Lord, and also want some good crumpin
for the Tech War.
And then they arrive there, and in there, Daenerys, I forget her name, Master Archon of the Drukhari, is attempting to gain power over her area, which is Port Tavard of Camara. Mm-hmm. And in order to do so, she is making alliances and causing issues with some various other folks, like some witches, homunculi, and so on.
Yep.
And then she, because Drukhari, don't like the orcs, they get at odds with the orcs. And in pretty classic fashion, they underestimate the orcs. And things go sour.
Yep. I think that's one of the things I didn't like, is it was just another case of like, oh, look, it's another race that have underestimated the orcs, and now their actions have consequences. And that's literally like every orc book. And it's like, do we have nothing else to go with for that? Like, every orc book is like, oh, wow, why did we underestimate the orcs? You just can't ever tell what they're doing. And it's just, I don't know, that whole like, every book treating the orcs the same way in that respect is kind of a, I thought it was kind of a drag.
So that's actually interesting you say that, because I thought that the non-orc stuff in this one was the best non-orc stuff of the three, books. I think this kills the Admech and Iron Warriors in the Brutal Cunning. And it like, I mean, there are barely any humans in War Boss, but it like completely bodies that too.
Yeah. I'm weird. Cause like one of the reasons I kind of didn't like give this like a 10 out of 10 is because it almost feels like it didn't know what kind of book it wanted to be. Like, it really wanted to show off the Drukhari, which it does really well. But then it's like, oh, but we got this is an Ooftak book, so we kind of got to show him off, and we kind of got to do stuff with him, and then Grotz. And it's like, I kind of wish it would just like pick what it wanted to be, and like, you know, because it felt more like a Dark Eldar book than a the Big Daka book, right?
This is fascinating. I got to be honest. I'm okay. So I want to point on something that Shai talked about, right?
Okay.
So Mike Brooks is our resident orc writer. He has done three orc books.
He has.
And they're all minimum good. Their minimum, their minimum B minus. They're in the B's area.
Like I said, I still give it a 7 out of 10. Sure.
Sure. So I guess that's a C, but like, you know.
Yeah. It's, I'll
above
give it a
average,
C plus.
Right?
Yeah. Above average. Yeah.
I am very happy with that. I also want a huge shout out to Harry Myers, because Harry Myers absolutely slaps the vocals. The dude is like terminally British. He's so thick on his accent that even the Dark Eldar sounded like humans a little bit, because they've had like the British accent.
Yeah. Can I, okay. So I loved his depiction of the orcs, but I found that like every Drukhari ended up sounding exactly the same. Like Daenerys and her rival, Ventress, I think was his name. The one that she eventually kind of sort of falls in love with, but oh no, I'm just doing this to gain power. They literally sounded exactly the same.
I don't know if I agree with that at all. Ventress had a very, very deep talk like this.
Yeah, and Ventress kind of had that same, oh, well, I'm Ventress. And Daenerys was like, oh, well, I'm Daenerys. And it's, I don't know. It just like, it felt like they kind of melded a little bit to me.
Okay, I mean, sure, you know, that's how it was heard. I disagree. They sounded very different to me.
Well, I am the stupid one of the group, so
I don't think this has anything to do with intelligence. I think it's just maybe his ears.
Maybe. My old age, I need to put the hearing aids in, dude.
I will agree, certain Dark Eldar did sound similar to each other, but the rival guy had this really breathy, like, oh, yes, we're going with the Archons. and that, it was pretty distinct for me. Like the Master Homunculus, okay, for example, was very
true.
Clear.
The Homunculus was very clearly a different voice. Speaking of voices going.
Yeah, you okay, dude? I can hear you.
I'm trying to clear my throat. I don't know what is going on this morning. But yeah, the Homunculus was like suitably different, but I don't know, like most of the Drukhari voices aside from the Homunculus sounded like really similar to me. And apparently that's just me.
My issue more ran towards the fact that the Drukhari voices sounded like they could basically just be human voices. They're basically true, just various types of like commissars
sounding,
and aristocrats. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean that's less of a that's just like a vocal
personal
thing.
Preference. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, like Harry Myers, every time there was an orc on screen, and even though the Grotz parts we have to take some issue with, his voices for all the Grotz, I think, are still fantastic.
Oh yeah, I loved all, like, because with the Grotz, they were all so very different. Like, kind of towards the end, like, all of the Grotz, even if they're just showing up for the first time, all had, like, a different inflection. Some of them talked fast, some of them talked slow, some of them were low, some of them were high, and I love his orc voices. Yeah. I have nothing bad to say about his orc voices. Wasn't a huge fan of the Drukhari voices, though.
I do very much appreciate that in his voice acting, when he reads the book, he knows what parts of the book are supposed to be funny. And so very often he'll like there's a part. OK, there's a part where Snaggy is talking to a Grot and he's like, he says something on the lines of like, well, yeah, I'm the top Grot. Don't touch that. And he like screams because he's about to grab something.
Yeah, because and like, he gets launched in the trebuchet thing.
It genuinely like jump scared me when I was listening to the book. It was really funny. There's a lot of like he knows how to do the humor really, really well when it comes to the orc stuff. And I think like, okay, so there was something, it was the, I'm starting to read, like, this is so off topic. I'm starting to read Blood Meridian.
What's that?
It's just a really, really, really awful and crazy dark, Cormac McCarthy book. But it's not
even a 40K book.
No, it has nothing to do with it. But the writing of the book is so specific and and kind of hard to digest that without a VA to like read alongside, it's kind of hard to understand it. You need to kind of like go back and reread it. And so I think Harry Myers' VA work of this book really helps sell that humor that the orcs are trying to go for, if that makes any sense.
I would agree. There are definitely like moments where his voice acting helps sell the humor so much, for sure. Can we also talk about how they memed the Is it a black and gold sky or a blue?
I was going to say that too. I had a fucking double take. I was like, did they actually do that? Did they actually
do
that?
Rewind. I must have misheard that. What the?
I was like, did you actually make a goddamn, like, the dress meme? I felt like I was living in the Twilight Zone.
Yep. I was floored a little bit. Yeah. So
God damn, that threw me off so much.
Yep. Like I was like, rewind. There's no way they just did that. Yep. They did that. Yep. It's the dress meme. Holy. All right.
Insane. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk. So let's talk about the Grotz. I do not naturally dislike Snaggy. I like Snaggy. I like Snaggy's concept. I thought this book, they were going to do something with it. And then they didn't. And then I immediately hated Snaggy again.
I think that's the main problem with Snaggy in like all of the books is you think they're going to do something with him. You think they're going to do something with the Grot Revolution. And part of you, like, I think like there was a part of me that actually started hoping that like he would succeed because he's trying so hard. His stuff is kind of funny. Oh, it's Grotz and everything. But it just never goes anywhere. And it just ends up being like useless, like maybe kind of pseudo comedy relief. Because at the end, he just gets dunked on again. And like Shai said in her little review, like you could completely take out all of the Grotz stuff. You would miss nothing.
That's the biggest thing is that we had the whole Snaggy Little Tooth stuff in War Boss, and I was good with it because it looked like they were going to lead somewhere. And then when they didn't, I was like, okay, kind of disappointing, but like I get what he's going for. He's going for the Grot Society versus the Orc Society. Mm-hmm. Bring him in again, do it again, and I'm like, okay, now we're actually going to do something, aren't we? Because you're setting it up again. And then they didn't. And I was like, okay, you literally wasted maybe 5 chapters entirely dedicated to this same gag.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I thought like, because I thought they were going to do something with it. And I'm a little shocked they didn't. Mm-hmm. If anything, I feel like they need to make a book that's actually just called The Grot Boss. And they actually just fucking do it.
He just gets his own ship or he gets his own planet and they actually make a Grot Revolution where they actually succeed at making a proper Grot warband.
Kind of short story where like Snaggy escapes the new ship that Ooftok has and then just like get him out of there and then like it's done. Because it's like, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, stop it.
Fool me twice, you don't fool me again. And just have him be his own separate thing, and then you can literally start like a whole like anthology of just this Grot war band that just goes around thinking they're super hot shit, and just look at the shenanigans they get into when they find some Tyranids or when we found a space marine. This isn't good. Like, I think it would be amusing to see the Grots, this Grot war band that thinks they're hot shit, actually interact with like other factions and see what sort of like, you know, haphazard mischief they get into. Because in this book, it felt like if you took it out, you could have focused like you could have like lasered in so much more on like orcs versus Drukhari and really like just zoned in on it. I mean, it already does, but like all the Grot stuff just kind of feels like a waste of time.
I would absolutely. I had this mindset, this thought process later on, right? I was thinking. So we're in spoiler territory at this point.
Big spoiler territory. Yep.
I kind of thought that like the next book was going to be Ooftok attacking the Mechlord. I didn't expect it to just like that kind of felt a little off to me. I was like, we already had the climax of the book. I'm a little shocked that we would just get rid of the Mechlord right at the end like that.
Yeah.
It seemed a little bit random, a little like I didn't hate it. I was just like, oh, we're still going? Okay. But I had the thought process like Snaggy gets his Grot boss and they go live in this place and then they become like, you know, because Grots operate tanks and Killikans and stuff. And I can totally see this fun idea where they do a short story like this and Snaggy gets like this big Killikan for himself and all this kind of stuff. And they get their own little society and then Ooftok maybe like goes to, and you know, like runs into them later, and they can't really kill each other because now Snaggy's got this like actually decent fighting force, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with Uptalk specifically saying never put Snaggy in a Killican.
Killican, yeah.
I can see this kind of fun idea where like you do a sequel and Daenerys is like getting revenge and all this kind of stuff. And Uftog is like, you know, dumb Spikey gets really came in full force. And then Snaggy's there and he's got like his big mass group of like Grot tanks and Killicans. And they have to do like a begrudging alliance to deal with the Drukhari. Like that kind of idea sounds fun.
Definitely.
But then they just did absolutely nothing and wasted like four chapters of the book.
Yeah, I like that idea that like the Grots are just like, oh yeah, well we fix everything, we handle the ammo, let's just get our own Killicans, our own tanks. We might be small outside of them, but as long as we're in our Killican, we can totally tango with the orcs. That would be really dope, actually. But yeah, I wasn't expecting at the end for them to just be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna fight Demek Lord and I'm juiced up on like Drukhari drugs that inflated me a little bit, so I'm super juiced, and then yeah, I killed the Mech Lord, and now it's the Uftakwa. Yeah, that did seem to happen like really quick.
It like, felt really quick, but maybe it's just because you remember the Mech Lord so fondly from Brutal Cunning.
Yeah, yeah. And for also, a war boss to just get tossed that quick is kind of just like, whoa, okay.
Also, no, the General. I kind of thought we would have the General.
That's right.
You know?
There was no the General.
Yeah, because he was the surviving war boss in War Boss.
Yeah, he was the sole. Yeah, he was the sole survivor, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, he was the sole boss, the war boss.
Right. Yeah.
Oh. Huh.
I hadn't even thought about that until you said it, and now I'm just like, huh, you'd think he would at least get, like, a cameo.
Yeah, I don't know. He was mentioned once or twice by Snaggy, but that's about it. Huh. Well, anyway, those were the parts that were, I think, the biggest issues with the book.
Yeah, definitely.
I very much liked Daenerys and her parts. I liked the Drukhari stuff a lot, actually. I was not upset when they cut to it like I was with every other orc book.
Yeah. It's so weird because like I too enjoyed the Drukhari parts, and like this feels more like a Drukhari book. It doesn't like it's so weird because like it's pitched as like this orc book, and like the orcs are a big part of it, sure, but it feels like a Drukhari book.
Oh, I think that's the struggle that you run into when you make an orc book, though, is that orcs are so one note. You have to have something that's not one note. Yeah, you need to have some other type of thing. Like, that's kind of the... Is it true, though? I think it's true, Shy. I think, you know, like, if you're going to do a comedy orc-only book... No, Gasbook wasn't orcs only. It was had the Inquisitor and stuff interrogating, and they had that whole thing with the Psyker Ogryn and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true. The orcs are so one note. Oh, I'm gonna go get a bit of crumpin'. That like you kind of need to see how other factions are like reacting to their like desire to just get into a fight with everything. I guess that's kind of true. Like you can't have a specifically 100% orc book. I mean, I guess you could, but it'd be weird.
So, okay. So I'm thinking of it like this. Oh, you know what? Okay. Here's something that's like really, I think we can all agree with. And it's actually something that I think is really genius.
Okay.
I don't fully remember if we ever like 100% confirmed that the bigger the orc gets, the smarter the orc gets. I know that like Gaz is really big, but Gaz is really smart. And I thought that was more of a Gaz thing than it was an orc thing.
Yeah, Gaz was always smart because he could hear the gods talking to him, right? So we always kind of,
But now we have an actual genuine canon metric that that orcs that become... Yeah, me too, dude.
I transferred it to you, sorry.
But we have like an actual metric that orcs that get bigger from their fighting get stronger also. And that specifically is really fascinating because, and in my opinion, a bit genius if it wasn't actually the case before, because the biggest problem with orcs is that you couldn't really make really fascinating orc characters outside of a couple funny gimmicks. Captain Badruk is fun because he's a funny pirate, and that's like his shtick, right? But now if you make orcs smart by making them big, then you basically get the Necron effect, where you can have great characters, but only a few great characters as like the major overlords and stuff. So you have a few real, because Uftok, like the part when he talks to Daenerys near the end of the book is like the best part of the entire book. It's great.
Oh yeah, when he's in the cell.
Yeah, it's like it's honestly the best part of the book for me.
Yeah, when they actually start to like understand each other, like each of them is kind of getting a better like Daenerys is. I keep calling her Daenerys. It's her name is not. She's not the Queen of Dragons. Anyway,
wait, what's her name? It's
like Daenerys.
Is it not Daenerys?
Yeah, Daenerys is the Queen of Dragons in Game of Thrones. The Archon is like Daenerys. It's close.
It's close. Yeah,
it's close. But
we know
anyway.
Who we're talking about.
Yeah, but it's like they start getting a grasp on each other, and like she's just like, "Oh, you love fighting, and you get bigger and strong. Well, I'm just gonna leave you in the cell because f off, like whatever. I'm not dealing with your shit." And it's like, "Oh, damn!" Like she's actually that is a great part of the book.
I think it's not just that. I think Drukhari is probably the best because Brutal Cunning. The point of it was like, okay, the Admech are the most logical and they're fighting a completely illogical enemy, right?
Yeah.
The Drukhari are a different psychological concept, which is they spend their entire lives trying to be as live as long as they possibly can because death is the most horrifying outcome they could possibly experience. While Orcs have no fear of death whatsoever. They're completely like existentially complete.
Mm-hmm. Daenerys being so jealous of that too, like you don't care if you die, like what
she was furious about.
Spend my whole life trying not to die and fearing death. I live forever and I worry about that, and these simpletons that are just teleporting around all willy-nilly don't care. This is bullshit.
That I really liked. It was a great contradiction between how the orcs feel and everyone else feels. It added so much depth to that whole concept, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And I think it's one of the reasons why Drukhari were a really good choice for this book. For all that kind of, you want to shy, you want to go into the arena and fight powerful monsters till you die? Uftok, don't threaten me with a good time.
She is so befuddled by that. She's like, you know you're going to die, right? And he's like, oh, if it's funny or violent, it's good with me.
Yeah, like it's, and it also it was fascinating because Uftok got even bigger from some homunculus injections or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so like when he was talking in the cell, I kind of started thinking to myself, damn, Uftok is sounding like maybe a bit too intelligent for the orc right now.
But then I realized, oh, smart.
It's like, oh, shit, wait, hold on. He's actually, like, smarter now. Because the first orc line the entire book was, Uftok's head was hurting, probably from doing all that thinking stuff.
He had to get used to the fact that his brains were actually working. Yeah.
Right. And so just the idea that he got so smart from that and was able to... Also, I love the fact that... Was it a Death Watch Marine that he just yeeted into the stands? And Death Watch Marine was like, let's go. And
I was going to ask you, like, what chapter he was from. Because weren't they like, oh, yeah, it was blue armor and
his
gauntlets
armor?
Were red. And I was like, there's no way that's a Night Lord crime ganger, right? There's no way the Drukhari would have a, right?
Nah, Ultramarine then. Okay, gotcha. Or Crimson Fist, that's true.
Yeah, they specifically said Red Fist, and the only one I could remember was like, because you paint your Night Lords with the red
hands. The center's red, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, there's no way they got a Night Lord. So yeah, had to be an Ultramarine or a Crimson Fist, and Uftok tried to reason with him. He's like, you won't go crump these guys?
Yeah, well...
What?
And they made the lovely thing, which is, he's like, seems that sometimes Beakies actually would prefer if there were no other Gits to fight. How weird.
Ah, the Beakies. Gotta have a little Space Marine representation in your Warhammer book, right?
I just love the idea that he just yeets him into the crowd and the Space Marine just starts laying into people.
Yeah, sometimes you don't give him a choice, you know? What if he had no choice but to help me get rid of all these guys? Yeah.
Yep. But no, the Drukhari stuff was really, really good. It was a great juxtaposition to and contradiction to the orcs, like philosophically, conceptually.
Yep.
I really like the Master Homunculus. I'm very sad he died.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he'll regrow. I don't know.
I mean, he could be in a vat somewhere. Surely homunculus or homunculi have to have like contingency plans for if they die, right?
They said he died, like, but you know, maybe they didn't die.
Yeah.
Him specifically is great. I really liked. I don't know. I mean, there were some parts that I was iffy on. Like, I didn't like her brother. He was just kind of like a plot device at the end. I didn't really care about.
Yeah. I mean, they revive him at the beginning and then he shows up and then they kind of like, oh, you're not. And yeah, he kind of just gets used as the fuel source for the Drukhari ship that Uvtek steals. Also, what kind of ship is that? And what's that big ass gun at the bottom? Is that like a
Dark
thing?
Lance.
A Dark Lance?
So a Dark Lance is basically like an Eldar Laz cannon. Dark Eldar carry, regular Eldar have Bright Lances. It's Dark Eldar have Dark Lances. It's okay. Basically just an anti-tank gun, but it's a massive one. They put
on
the
a massive scale.
Ship.
Yeah. It's a void battle Dark Lance. Okay.
Right. Yeah. So the ship was just like a Dark Eldar craft. It's a, okay. Like it's just a ship.
Gotcha.
But no, they were all fun. I actually had no idea that they had that as the name for the book, because I would argue that the Colosseum part was like that whole section was the most fun part of the book.
Yeah,
I really liked I loved how they had a Eldar strapped to the table. And the succubus just walked up and like carved a piece of the thigh off and started eating it. Like, would you like to try some?
Yeah, it's
just awful, awful Dark Eldar crap.
Yeah, very casually does it. And they have him strapped to the table so tight that it's like, oh yeah, he tried to squirm, but nope. Yeah, and yet it's such like, I feel like the description of the book and the name of the book are all wrong. Like the description Shai showed us is all wrong, calling it the Big Daka, all wrong, because it only shows up kind of sort of towards the end when Uvtek just wants to nick the ship because it's got the biggest gun on it. Like, it's just, it feels like there was a little bit of a problem in actually, like, marketing the book.
Yeah, it's Shai made a good point. You want to make people mad, mention the succubus lady was trans.
Oh yeah, because they can be male, female. They're not like that's true. That's true.
That was actually a bit of an interesting thing. So I guess the way that they do the whole like the muse of the Eldar is like, okay, if you're a howling banshee, you are like a feminine character. Whether you started off as feminine doesn't really matter. But yeah, you make your way to fit that mold because the Howling Banshee is an aspect warrior that represents like an Eldar god in a way. And I guess a succubus and the witches and like the Hecatrix blood brides are in a bit of a similar kind of style. It's kind of a fascinating concept.
So it's a nice little, you know, it's a nice little point to put in. Yeah, again, it's just a nice little like view of like the Drukhari. Like it felt like this should have been like, it feels like this should have been marketed as a Drukhari book.
See, I'm not in that case. Then every single one of the orc book should have been marketed as a other book. Well, maybe not Warboss, but
yeah, Warboss. You kind of yeah, that's it.
I don't know. Like I get the reason for it. I get why you want to have the various. Why
like
you need the other
perspectives. Especially if you take those four Grot chapters out and it's like, oh, look, we put in more Drukhari stuff and you make it like, I don't know. It's just the, I don't know.
Honestly, if you pulled the Grot chapters, I think you extended the Colosseum stuff by another chapter, give or take, because Uvtok only fighting two people in the Colosseum was kind of bull. I expected like minimum five.
Yeah.
But he himself is like great, you know?
Yeah, he does fight off five of the greatest Drukhari fighters that exist. So,
I must say, I found the entire Drukhari stuff to be really good. I also am very happy that whatever the fuck Queen of the Dragons, I'm glad she lived. I think
yeah.
I'm very glad she lived. I genuinely think that she could be a really good villain in the future.
Yes.
I just liked her story. I would have enjoyed it if they maybe worked that romance in there a bit more seamlessly. It was a little like random at the end. I could have liked a little bit more.
The romance definitely felt like, oh yeah, we're in the heat of combat. And, oh my, you're so cute. Oh, do you really think so? Oh, I really do. Ooh. And it's like, where the did this come from?
It kind of came out of nowhere. I won't lie.
Yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere. I was like, wait, all right, cool. But like, okay, whatever. Like,
cool, but where?
Yeah, but what? Don't these two like hate each other? Haven't they been looking for a reason to backstab each other like the whole? Well, I guess
they still might. Might do that. Yeah,
they still might. I was gonna say, well, in Drakari culture, that might be the way to hit on someone. Like,
I really liked how Uftak was looking at the audience, and there was a statement where he's like, people were cheering and doing stuff, and some people were doing things that they probably would have assumed that no one was around to see them doing.
But in the Drakari, like, no, we hope more people see us. Oh, yeah, everybody watch this. Yeah.
Yeah, like, if we had, like, 3 to 4 Grot chapters, if we took those chapters and we, like, added one to the Colosseum, one more to Drakari, and one more to Uftak and the boys, I would have been pretty all right.
Yeah, it would have been, if that was the case, I probably would have bumped it up to, like, an 8, maybe a 9.
I will admit, though, they revealing that other little tidbit of Drakari lore, the tidbit where Drakari children are not naturally disposed to torture,
and
they have to learn how to love torture, was actually like, you know, whenever you think about Drakari, you think, oh, we're going to make it more and more screwed up. But normally you think of it in like a dumb way where it's like, oh, we're going to do like a Demon Kielbasa thing where it's like, oh, look how horrible it is. Mm-hmm. They actually made them more awful by going with a philosophical section of it, like an existential bit to it. I was like, oh, damn, that's screwed up.
Yeah, it's that idea of like, no one is born evil. You have to be taught evil. And like the Drakari really teach them young. And it's just, okay. I didn't always hate everyone, and then I just grew to love it because mom was always torturing someone.
That was really fascinating to me because they were like, oh, if you don't do that, you leave and you go with like the craft worlds or the Exodites.
Mm-hmm.
I thought was really good. I don't know. I liked the Big Daka the most. I think because we needed, of all of the non-orc characters, I think Drakari were the best fit, and they're the ones I actually cared about the most. Like, I would have been sad if What's-Her-Buckets died at the end. Like, I was hoping that she wouldn't. and that's more than I can say for the Brutal Cunning Admech folks, for example.
Yeah, I really like the Drakari parts. Definitely, like you said, they're the best foil so far. For the orcs. So you can't really disagree with that. Also kind of loved how shocked the Drakari were that the orcs were just teleporting like it didn't matter.
I like that too. It was like, oh my God, you're opening us to the warp. What are you doing?
Are you crazy? She Who Thirsts is going to see that. And yeah, they still just willy-nilly and yep.
Damn. Yeah. No.
Wasn't it like at the end they were like, "Oh, we see a bunch of chaos stuff forming around Kamra and Port Tavern. Should we go back and deal with them?" He's like, "Nah,
Shikari
can deal with them. No, they're not gonna have fun with that." But
that is Shai makes a great point. It's like Uftak is like, "I like teleporting because everything gets all weird and purple with big teeth, and sometimes the teeth try to bite you, and that's fun."
Orcs would probably love transitioning through the Immaterium. That's fair. Yep.
I did find even though all the Grot stuff was off, was not great, which is unfortunate because like the writing of it is like fine. Like the humor I'm okay with.
Yeah, nothing happens with it. It just doesn't lead to anything. Like the Grot stuff is fine. It's amusing. It's hilarious. It's well written. It's well voiced. But it's a big nothing burger.
I gotta be honest. I think it's hilarious that us as orc fans are like typical Grots, the worst part of the story.
Truly, we are all orc built.
But the I found the end, even though the Grotz stuff was all a little bit annoying, the ending bit where they leave all the Grotz at the end and all the Jukari like pull out their shanks with these big ass grins. I find that to be both a humorous and horrifying visual.
Yeah.
Just for them to be like, oh boy. But then the idea of like certain wounded Kabbalites being teleported with the orcs to the ship and like freaking the fuck out. Because like, no, don't teleport me. No. And they like scream and then just disappear. It's like, ooh.
Yep.
Spooky.
Well, we've got plenty of fuel for that Drakari ship now.
It's good stuff. There's a lot of, I liked the Big Daka. I did not realize that was the description because holy hell, that is so not correct.
Yeah, it's really bad. That if anybody's still watching this, listening to this, don't go by the description of that book. I mean, of course, if you've made it to this point, you've already been spoiled on the whole fucking thing anyway, so who cares? But yeah, that's awful description. Still kind of think it deserves a different name too, because the Big Daka as a name for the book kind of sort of doesn't make any sense either, but you know, still enjoyed it. Wasn't my favorite, still enjoyed it. 7 out of 10.
All right, fair. I would probably give it like an 8. I give it like a B. The last ending, the ending in the beginning, I really, really liked. Cut the Grotz stuff out. I'm pretty happy with it. I would not hate a future book, either with. But did they say they're doing a Drukhari led book soon?
Ooh, they should. I mean, especially you've got the perfect duo for it. And now you've really expanded on Drukhari lore and shown what they were like. They absolutely should.
I thought that there was... Right. Oh, that's right. Okay, so Mike Brooks is writing a Lelith Hesperax novel. That's right.
Lelith Hesperax.
She's the named succubus.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yo, okay, hold on. This book cover goes so hard.
Whoa! That's the cover? Yo, okay. When this comes out, I think I have to buy the physical copy just for that.
Sorry, that's the special edition. Here's the normal book.
Oh.
Which is also fine, but the special
also fine.
One.
Dude, when does that special one go on sale? Is it on sale? Can I pre-order it? Like, I literally want to just display that on my shelf.
I have no idea when this is coming out. But it's done by Mike Brooks, and obviously, you know, he's done his good org. Drukhari stuff was great in this book, so love that. I'm curious. Okay, so Lelith is like the named succubus. So there's like the named Archon would be like Asdrubal Vect, even though you can't play as him on the tabletop. Mm-hmm. And then the named homunculus would be Urien Rakarth. This is the named succubus.
Gotcha. Okay.
I wouldn't hate if perhaps, you know, Daenerys, Queen of the Dragons, was interested in getting her part of Camarah set up and she has to broker a deal with Lelith or something. That'd be kind of
amazing. Yeah. I mean, I would love it. I mean, having a Hesperax book, great. But honestly, I think you could do a whole anthology of books just based on Queen of Dragons and her boy toy.
Oh, interesting. So what we got here? So... Lelith is, it isn't long into her journey away from Camarog that Lelith narrowly dodges an assassin's blade, and the great political games of the Dark City reel her back into the very life she was looking to escape. Fortunately, it's not just any foe that's taken her shot at the queen and missed. All signs point back to the living muse himself, Asdrubal Vect, and the nominal ruler of Camarog is only too ready to ensnare Lelith in his schemes.
All right. Okay,
I like Vect. I love me some Vect.
All right. And I'm down for more Drukhari books. You know, and Mike Brooks seems to know what he's doing when he's writing the Drukhari. So hey, we're all eating good in the neighborhood.
It's very fascinating. Mike Brooks is a great author. He's clearly like he did Son of the Forest, which is amazing. And he's done 3 orc books, and all the orc parts have always been good. The Grotz stuff, not as fun sometimes. And, you know, he struggled with, like, Admech a little bit back in Brutal Cunnin.
Yeah.
But I would make me laugh so hard if Lelith Hesperax is, like, a Lion Son of the Forest level written book. And then it's just like, damn it, is it the orcs that are the problem? Is this the issue?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how the Lilith book goes. But if Lilith ends up being Lion Son of the Forest thing, it's like, well, maybe stop commit. Like, you know, as much as it would pain me to not have funny orc books, it's like, well, your non-orc stuff is pretty, as the kids say, it's pretty poggers.
It's so pretty poggers.
It's pretty poggy-woggy. So, you know, maybe.
We'll see. Anyway, Shai, did you have recommendations for another book of any kind that you want?
Right. What are our options for the next book club?
She has an idea.
Oh, it's an orc book.
Well, hopefully not. I would say no to that. Say, then
it's Shai. Like, it's an orc book. Hooray!
I would be like, please no, not again.
Are there any more orc books?
There are, but I haven't heard great things.
Those are the only three that I've heard anything about. Brutal Cunning was the one I heard the most about. And obviously War Boss and the Big Docker was through Shai, so I had no idea there were other the Big Docker.
You know, it really like that's a good point. What even is the goddamn the Big Docker? It probably is just the giant Dark Lance.
It's the giant Dark Lance on the ship that he wants to steal to get out of Kamarah.
It doesn't really have any like
Yeah, that's it, the just, only big Daka like the, that really grabs
yeah, that
him.
Happens, right? Yeah.
It's the only one. It's just it's not the right name for the book. It needs to be literally anything else.
Yeah, that's true. We just talked about Armageddon, have lots of requests for Hell's Reach. Do that, or maybe we can do the Fate. Wait, was that your idea with those three? I thought you had like a specific book in mind.
I mean, those are still ideas.
Oh, nah. Let's see. So what was the book we did before this again? This was a Xenos
War Boss
book.
Before this.
Oh, was it War Boss?
I thought, yeah, wasn't it? We did War Boss, and then it was like, well, you know, Big Docker is basically a sequel to that, so we went right into that, right?
I guess that's okay. So we did two Xenos books. What book did we do before those two?
Was that? Oh boy, I do not remember.
Because I'm trying to think, like, okay, if we did an Imperium book before that, we can do, like, a Chaos book next, basically.
It wasn't Assassinorum, was it? That was a while ago.
No, God, no,
right?
That was a while ago.
I can't remember what we did before War Boss.
Oh, I think it was Eisenhorn.
Oh, or was it Lion Son of the Forest. Right.
Maybe I thought it was Eisenhorn.
Son of the Forest was so good, too. How did I forget that was the last one we did?
Well, in that case, we've done two Xenos books and then an Imperium book. I think it's only right that we do a Chaos book next in that case.
Ooh.
You know what? Should we just do it?
Do it?
Let's just do
What's
Horus.
It?
Let's just do Horus Rising.
Horus Rising. Okay.
Let's just do the first book of the Horus Heresy. The original. The OG.
The OG. All right. I think that'll be a popular choice.
It's Dan Abnett, who's an amazing writer. It's Toby Longworth, who is an incredible VA, one of my favorites.
Okay.
It's 12 hours, so it's a bit chunkier.
Yeah, not too bad though. Still pretty, you know. It's not like it's a 24-hour epic or something, right? So
on the list of like new books that people should read, like this is the first of the Horus Heresy. So like this is your first one. And honest to God, I've heard that as amazing as it is, like it would not be the same. Like 40K as a genre would not be the same if Horus Rising was not as good as it was. Because it starts out like this is the first book of Space Marines for a lot of people, and it opens very, very strong.
Okay. I've never read any of it. I'm excited. You're really hyping this up though. You're really hyping this up for me a little bit. So I'm excited and I hope it fits the bill.
All right, same. Well then everyone, thank you for listening. Appreciate you very, very much. Thank you for supporting our podcast, and we'll see you next month with shit, Horus Rising.
Horus Rising. Hell yeah, brother.
Let's go.
That Horusy.
Oh, God.